with our faith. By the grace of God, we are going to round up today on that topic. We remember the passage we read in James. James said, if you see your brother hungry, naked, you must match your faith with your action. That particular story, that particular illustration given by James is very situational. If you see somebody who has a need, lacks, and you have the capability, you have the means to meet that need, don't just pray for the person and say, God will meet your need. That action does not correspond with your faith, because you have the ability to do it and you didn't do it. Therefore, James made it clear there that faith without action is what? Dead. So your action must match with your faith. Okay. Then the following Sunday, our father told us that if your faith is size 6, don't act in size 8. You must act in proportion to your faith. If you act against or overstretch your faith when there is no need, you might have a spiritual accident that may result in doubt. Amen? But if you allow your faith match with your action, you find that it will be proportional. The result will always come out fine. Amen? If you don't like the condition of your faith, you can increase it. That's the beauty of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So it's your responsibility to nurture, feed your faith, take it to the level that you are comfortable with. Okay. Then the others, last Sunday before our Thanksgiving, I explained to us how the word of God and faith works. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. The word of God, whatever you want, you plant it. Jesus Christ said, if you have faith like a sycamore tree, like a sycamore seed, if you have faith like a sycamore seed, there he was making it clear that faith is a seed. Just like a sycamore tree begins with what? A seed. You can never have a tree automatically. You plant the seed. Amen? So if you plant the word of God in your soul is the seed of your soil. If you plant the word of God in it and you nurture that seed, it will eventually grow into a big tree. Amen? If you have faith as small as a seed, you plant it, it will grow and become a big tree. Is this clear to us? I explained to us that Jesus Christ said, when you plant the seed, first you have the ear, first you have next the blade, then you have the full corn. You cannot harvest your seed when it's in the ear or in the blade form. You must wait for your seed to mature. Amen? You must wait for your seed to what? Mature. If you act against what you are expecting, then the result will be zero. Amen? That's a good guy. So you must act in proportion to your faith. If you're not comfortable with the level of your faith, you can increase it. How do you increase your faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You meditate on the word of God. You feed on it. You nurture it. I spoke to us the importance of quiet time. Every day you feed your faith with the word of God. You are strengthening your faith. And when the hour of need comes, your faith will be able to match up with the situation. So when you take an action, it will be proportional to your faith and you get the expected result. How does the word of God work in you? You feed on the word of God. You sow it in your soul. Your soul is the soil. And I remember telling us that God does not communicate with you through your emotion. God communicates with us how? By our spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, which he uses to search the inward belly. The word of God is a spirit. So when you feed on the word of God, the word of God will nourish your spirits. Amen? The seed Where your word, the word of God resides in you, is your soul. And it nourishes, it cleans with your spirits. And your spirit man communicates with the Holy Ghost in you to bring to pass, to make happen what you are expecting from God. Jesus Christ said, you plant the seed, you sleep, you wake up, you sleep, you wake up. You don't know how the seed grows. Now the ear, the blade, and the full corn. Same thing with the word of God. You feed on the word of God. You nourish your soul with the word of God. You pray, you trust, you hope, and very soon there's a physical manifestation of what you are trusting God for. Amen? Very important. So if your faith is not functioning properly, go back to the source, the word of God, and feed on the word of God. Hear the word of God. Stop all those TV programs, going to the internet, spending hours, gossiping, all those irrelevances that can help you at the hour of your need. You have to moderate your life. Don't spend all your life watching TV or internet or whatever. Now spend more time on the word. So when the need, when the hour of need comes, when the dark hour comes, the word of God from your mouth, inspired by the Holy Ghost, become illumination to your situation. Amen? Now, sometime you have prayed about something. You have read the word of God. It looks there is no solution. You begin to ponder as you are driving. Suddenly, bam, a solution comes. Hey, an idea comes. Where do you think that is coming from? You have sown that seed long ago. The Holy Ghost now brought it out into through your mouth, through your action, through your imagination, through your senses. And when you apply that information, you get the expected solution. Amen? That is why you don't wait for when you are in a difficult situation before you begin to run to the Word of God. No. Take in the Word of God every day. Take in the Word of God every day. Take in the word of God every day. Nourish your soul. You may not need that word now, but nourish it. Let it be in your spiritual bank. So when the hour of need comes, when that temptation hour comes, the Holy Ghost will have materials with which to guide you out of trouble. Because they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What will he do? It will direct your path. But how will it direct your path if you have not taken in the word of God? It's very important that you take in the word of God. Spend time on the word of God. God's a good God. Now, you don't know the word of God if you are only reasoning the word of God by your brain. It's wrong. The word of God is the word of God, and you should not add to it or take away from it. That's why some people's faith are wobbly, because their faith is not substantiated, it's not rooted or grounded. The foundation of their faith is not 100% on the word of God. It's on hearsay, what the pastor say, what the people say, what they think is wrong. That's why their faith never works. But if you take in the word of God, the undiluted word of God, the word of God that is fire, the word of God that's like a sledgehammer that can break the rock to pieces, when you take it in and you allow the Holy Ghost teach you, then you will get the expected result. Praise the Lord. God's a good God. It's very important that we spend time on the word. Amen? Corresponding action. Corresponding action. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we are sharing some practical teachings in this area of action. We are spending much time here on this subject because there have been many things left unsaid and left undone in our lives. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into where? Into the ground. So is what? So is what? The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? And so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Where is the ground of the kingdom of God in your life? Your heart, your soul. The ground, the soil of the kingdom of God in your life is your soul. The kingdom of God is casting. So you cast, you sow the seed of the word of God into the kingdom of your soul. He said, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, knowing not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Let's zero into that verse 29. Look at that verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle. When you have the full manifestation of the mature fruit, then the harvest time has come. Many people get excited about faith, but do not act contrary until the full manifestation of what you are trusting God for. Amen? Did you hear me? Wait for the full manifestation. And when it comes, you will know. Don't have what I call excited faith. Let me give you an example of excited faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, beginning from verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Give you an example of an excited faith. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And said, "Lord." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord." Who answered him? Peter. Who answered him? Peter. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the waters." I take that again. Mark 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the waters." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the waters to go to Jesus. Where did he walk? Where did he walk? Verse 30. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Hallelujah. And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. I want us to stop there. Now, Peter, I call that excited faith. Peter was a very aggressive man. He believed in Jesus 100%. Just like I hope all of us here do. And as soon as he saw Jesus walking on the water, he asked, "If it is you, command me to come." Not that he was doubting it was Jesus. No, he wasn't doubting, but he was just excited at what Jesus was doing. But one thing, his faith has not matured to that level. Is this clear to us? His faith has not matured to that level. But Jesus could not have said no. He said, "If it is you, command me to what? Come." Jesus can't lie and say, "It's not me." And Jesus didn't want to say anything or distract him. He said, "Come." And he walked on the water. He was excited. But he saw the wind. What happened? His faith went down. The reason is this. His faith has not matured to that level to walk on the waters. Amen? His faith has not what? Matured to that level. It is true that Jesus was there physically. The faith of Jesus knows no limit. Even though Jesus was there with him, Jesus will not stir up his faith for him. Jesus expected him to use his faith and God to back it up. But thank God he did try. He walked on the waters. And as he started sinking, what did he do? He screamed out and Jesus rescued him. So don't act contrary to your faith. You must know the size of your faith. Don't act beyond your faith. Act in the level of your faith until you spend enough time on the word and press on. Amen? If the Holy Ghost lays an issue in your heart to act, even though it's contrary to what you think, act upon it. God will what? Support you. But if you decide to act foolishly, then you're on your own. Let me give you an example. Like in illness, every person's faith are not equal. We're not in the same level. Even though God gives everybody equal, same measure of faith, right from birth. When you become born again, you have the same measure. Every born-again child of God have the same measure when you become born again. But you groom your faith. For example, with illness, the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, we have been what? Healed. By the stripes of the Lamb, you have been what? Healed. Now, you are prayed for. God is not against medicine. Amen? God is not against medicine. Neither are we against medicine. But you must know the level you are. If you are prayed for, Jesus Christ said you will lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? You will recover. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What does recovery mean? It's a process. Is it sudden? No. Sometimes God can heal you instantaneously. But on the average, he told us in Mark 16, from verse 16 through 18, you lay hands on the sick, what happens? You recover. So when hands are laid on you or you've been prayed for, like we had a wonderful prayer, my goodness. How many of us were in the prayer line yesterday? Those of you who were not there, you missed a lot. It was healing galore. I had some tears in my mind, but the Lord said healing. The Lord said healing. A lot of people were healed. A lot of people were healed. The Lord revealed to me a lady with cancer. And I was on the phone praying, and I saw heat coming on the back of that lady. Yellow light pulled into her body. I saw all kinds of healing taking place. I saw an angel was stretching a lady's leg. Oof. Was stretching ladies. I see all these things. And as soon as I started praying, really, God dispatched angels. 8 of them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 8 of them, to go forth and meet the needs of the people. Now, back to what we're saying. If hands are laid on you for healing, or you are prayed for healing, it does not mean you throw your medicine away if you know you are not physically healed yet. Is that clear? There's recovery time. I gave us the story of a lady before who believed God for healing for her eyes, and when she was prayed for, she removed her glasses. I started feeling headache. And she had to quickly put it back and went to God and said, God, what's going on here? I've been healed, I've been prayed for, and I believe I'm healed. And Jesus spoke to him, wait for the manifestation. It said, hands are laid on you and you will recover. Then Jesus told her, every time you put on your glasses, say, I thank God I am healed. You keep thanking God in advance and command the hand of the enemy off it. And some months later, she was still wearing the glasses. As she was wearing the glasses, she's now feeling headache. She started feeling headache. She now went to pray, God, what's going on here? I'm feeling headache. He now heard the voice of the Lord say, now you are healed, remove your glasses from your eyes. This is clear to us. Don't act you must act in proportion to your faith. Amen? Some of us, we can have infirmity and we are prayed for, we say, no medicine. We know the level of our faith. Is that clear? You must know the level you are in before you go out there. God's a good God. I remember years ago when we newly got married, the devil really attacked my hand and I was experiencing arthritis. This is over 20 years now, about 20, how long have I been married? 26, 27 years? Maybe about 23 or 24 years ago. I can't drive properly. My pains, the doctor gave me some kind of medicine. I prayed and it was really a challenge. We just prayed and we forgot about it. And the Lord just healed me. I forgot about the healing. I forgot about the illness. So one day the Holy Ghost reminded me, hey, where's the pain in the hand? It was gone. Is that clear? Then I was 30-something years old. Can you imagine 30-something having arthritis? So what am I trying to stress here? We prayed and we forgot about it and it was gone. And I stopped taking medicine right away. That was my faith. Amen? But there are certain times I pray, the healing is not coming, I look for the right medicine. You have to know the level of your faith. Is this clear to us? Don't excite your faith against your action. If not, you have a faith burnout. Your faith must be proportional to your action. Faith without works is what? Dead. God is a good God. Some people, when they are sick, and that's when they begin to read the scriptures. In such a case, a lot of people have died. They are reading the scripture in fear, not in faith. Also, some people, they are prayed for. They just believe that they are healed. But the sickness is still there. They tell them, take your medicine. No, I'm healed. And they see die. Are you hearing me? There's a case of a lady. I read about it. I don't know her. This guy had cancer. And the guy, she believed that nothing could ever happen to him. By the time things started going really worse, they had to rush him to the hospital. Whether it's him or her, I don't know. The person was rushed to the hospital. And the medicine could not help. And the scriptures they were quoting could not help. Because the word of God has not formed foundation in their soul. Amen? There are cases and instances you are prayed for. Immediately you are healed. God is the one who has the discretion on how to answer your prayer. Melissa, you're hiding your face. I'm not seeing you. Come out. The world is hiding you. I want to see your face. After you have prayed, you need to keep confessing the word of God to maintain your focus. Amen? Why do we confess the word of God when we pray or after we have prayed? The reason is this: to remove the negative out of our system, to bring in God, to allow God to have his full opportunity to help us. Amen? The pain is there. You believe you are healed, but the devil is telling you, the pain is there. Always tell the devil, it is true the pain is there, but the word of God says, I am healed. So I stand by the word of God, than with the pain. Is that clear? See, take your medicine if you are persuaded to do that. Amen? So your action must always match with your faith. Why do we take in the word of God? To remove the negatives, to remove the discouragement, to remove doubts. As you meditate on the word of God, the word of God will now begin to overpower your own word and your own thoughts. Amen? The word of God will begin to overpower your own thoughts and your own words. And very soon, you'll be speaking the word of God. When you do that, the answer must manifest. God's a good God. Amen? So don't wait for trouble to come before you take in the word of God. Prepare. Jesus Christ gave us illustration. He said a house. He gave illustration with two foundations. He said one was built on the sand. And the rain came. The flood came. What happened to the house? The house collapsed. Because that house, that person, had no foundation in the word. But the other person was rooted and grounded in the word of God, started taking in the word of God before the erosion came. The rain came, the flood came, and beat upon the house. But the foundation remained what? Strong. What is the difference? The first one dug deep. How do you dig deep? By spending time daily, having your quiet time daily. Never be in a hurry to leave your home without talking to the God of your home. Is this clear to us? Very important. So the word of God in your heart will remove negativity. Will remove anger. Like in my life. This may sound funny. I have lost the ability to be angry. Nobody can make me angry again. It doesn't mean it. Nobody can make me angry in this world. Nobody. Because long ago I've used the word of God to erase it. It doesn't mean I will not speak, but I will not harbor anger or bitterness. It can never happen. I don't allow it. Like in my home as well. It is an abomination to begin to quarrel and yell and scream. It does not happen in my home. Why? Because we, the leaders of the home, do not entertain it. Is that clear? Never allow anything you don't want in your life to grow in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen? What you take in is what you will receive. Never allow anything that's contrary to the will of God in your life to take place in your life. Spend time on the word. Erase the negative. Remove contention. Remove wrath. Amen? And you begin to live in peace. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. So that end, that my message. Sometime after praying the word of God, stand on your feet, everybody. Sometime after praying the word of God, you don't know what to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 down says, after you have done the will of God, you have what? Need for what? Patience. You have need for what? Patience. You have need for what? Patience. Like Jairus. Jairus had an only daughter, and the daughter was dying. And while the daughter was dying, he ran to Jesus to invite Jesus. That was the level of his faith. He wanted Jesus to come to his house, so to lay hands on a daughter and be healed. We also remember the story of the centurion who had a servant. The servant was sick, dying. He went to Jesus. He sent a message. Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Speak the word, and I got healed. So you operate at the level of your faith. Is that clear? You see, the centurion operated at the level of his faith, and his servant was healed. But Jairus wanted Jesus to lay hands on a daughter. That was the level of her faith. Now, as Jesus was moving towards her house, an incident occurred. A woman with the issue of blood came, touched the hem of Jesus' clothes. What happened? She was healed. That was the level of the woman's faith. She said, if I can but touch the hem of her garment, I will be what? Healed. She was hemorrhaged. And by culture, she was not supposed to mingle with the people. So she calculated the position of Jesus, repositioned herself, bingo, touched the hem of Jesus' clothes. What happened? She was healed. She matched her faith with her action. In that process, a news came from Jairus' home that the daughter was what? Dead. And Jairus wanted to panic. Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Your daughter is asleep. And what happened? Jairus could do nothing. There's 70 times in our lives as we exercise our faith, we don't need to do anything but to keep focusing on the Lord and confessing the word of God. Amen? At that time, Jairus was saying, oh, I hope this man will finish talking with this woman with the issue of blood and come over to my house. They said, my daughter is dead. She was free. But focusing on Jesus. At that time, also in your life, you should also focus on the Lord. Father, your word says, by your stripes I've been healed. Your word says, you stand on the word. Your word says, you confess the word of God to stabilize your mind. Very soon the answer will come. What happened? After the woman with the issue of blood was finished, Jesus went to her home. And when people were crying and yelling, he said, forget about these people. They are all, the little guy is sleeping. They started laughing at him. Then Jesus decided to push all of them away and only took with them those who can support his faith. Peter, James, and John, and Mr. Jairus. Is that not so? He pushed away everything that would distract him. And when he got into the house, said, Talita Kumi, said, daughter, I say to you, arise. And the daughter got up. Don't you just see the wonders in Jesus? Jesus says, hey, give him some food to eat. Hallelujah. And the daughter ate. And sure, when the girl came out to the public, everybody must have screamed, oh, the daughter is really awake. You must act in the level of your faith. Amen? When pressure and temptation come, go back to the source that gave you your faith, the word of God, and keep confessing it. Amen? God's a good God. Ask God how many times? So that means before you pray that once, you must be serious. You must know the scriptures that gives you a right to that request. Father, your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. So I stand on your word now, I am healed in Jesus' name. So when that pain comes, you say, the word of God says, I am healed. Therefore, you pain, I curse you in the name of Jesus. You say, Satan, I bind your powers. Every spirit of infirmity behind this sickness, I bind you, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, I'm healed. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I choose to be healed. I reject in sickness and infirmity in the name of Jesus. But be careful that you don't keep doing what makes you sick. Amen? If you keep doing what makes you sick, then you are recycling that illness back into your body. God is not responsible for that. Amen? You take your bath. You clean, then you sit on a dirty chair. Your clothes get dirty. You should take care of your chairs and everything to remove the dust and the dirt so that you can enjoy your environment. Is that clear? God's a good God. Your God is a good God. Your God is a wonderful God. We thank God. The God that we serve never fails. Also, I left out something. Don't act because other people are acting. Amen? I can, as a pastor by his grace, act in certain capacity. Don't do that if your faith is not in that level. A man of God called Charles Capps, he's a farmer. And one time he was flying in his airplane and there was no gas, not enough gas. So he prayed to God for, God, I have to get on my journey. I can't get burned in the air. And God provided gas to his vehicle supernaturally. And by the time he landed, that he still had about 17 gallons of diesel or whatever it is in his plane. Then he was going to preach in the church. He got to the church and preached that message. God supplied my need. Look at what happened. And then a man, after getting that message, the wife and himself, they come from about 10 miles away to go to church. And they didn't have enough gas in the car. So this man, the wife was telling, you know, women are very good. He said, let's buy gas. I said, no, God supply cars with gas. My God will supply us with gas. 5 miles into the journey, the gas ran out. They had to call the pastor, poor pastor, like we always do. He has to look for a jerry can and buy gas and send it to the brother. You have to know the level of faith. The Charles Calf said he made a mistake when he was preaching that message. He should have added that God supplied his need in emergency. If you're an emergency, God can make it happen. But don't create an emergency. Amen? Yes. Emergency, it means you didn't plan for it. Don't plan for an emergency. What I mean is don't make it happen in an emergency. Is that clear? Like some kind of friends people have. When they go to shop, they don't put money in their pocket. Because they know you are a kind person. You understand? They know you are a kind person. Not, probably they even have more money than you. When they go to shop with you, they don't hold. They say, oh, I just like this thing. Then you out of your foolishness. Foolishness. You spend the money you don't have. Don't act above the level of your faith. I don't do it. Is that clear? There are certain people who tell me, I've had my fire. Fire has burnt me a lot. When people want to make me do certain things, I say, no. And what do? I walk away. Praise the Lord. So act in the level of your faith. Don't marry that man thinking you are going to change him. When you get that man, it's as it is. It's like a house. Even a house is better because you can improve on a house. Don't marry that woman because you think you are going to change her. Whoever you marry is as it is. Amen? That's a good God. That's another topic. You may be seated. Give me life. Lord, I receive life now. I receive your life now. By your word that I will receive now, Lord, turn my situation around. Turn my situation around. Move me forward. Forward ever. Backward never. Forward ever, Lord. Backward never. In the name of Jesus. Amen.